Gaslighting is an insidious and painful form of manipulation, very often used by narcissists and other toxic people to make us feel kind of crazy. But there's so much more to it than just that. So my question for you today is, do you think you're being gaslighted or have you been gaslighted before? Well, that's what we're talking about today at queenbeing.com. So let's get started. Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org. My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this channel, I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse and toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. So if that sounds good to you, hit that subscribe button and we'll just get going. If you've ever been in a relationship with a narcissist, then you probably already know about gaslighting. But just in case you don't,
gaslighting is an emotional abuse technique when someone messes with a victim's perception of reality. It is a common tool used by toxic people, cluster B personality types, or narcissists, and is meant to keep control over another person so the gaslighter can use the other person for his or her own gain. I want to thank Angie for this awesome opportunity. My name's Ryan Long, and I run the Unleashing Potential channel.
A narcissist will use gaslighting to get away with something. They use it to divert the attention or manipulate a situation so that it looks like they are not at fault, and in fact, you're the one at fault, or the situation never happened to begin with.
So the thing that makes gaslighting so incredibly effective as a manipulation tactic for a narcissist is that it causes you, the person it's being done to actually mistrust your own perception. You could see something in front of your own eyes in the depth of gaslighting and not trust it. It makes you doubt what reality even is, and also makes you wonder, maybe I am crazy. So it's a really good way for a narcissist to target you and get more power over you when they've already established a certain level of power. And in some cases, they use gaslighting to establish the power, as in to make you feel like you're not mentally sound enough to deal with stuff yourself.
Techniques used in this type of manipulation are very similar to those used in brainwashing, even in interrogation and torture situations.
It's a psychological term that was derived from an old movie in which a man tried to make a woman feel crazy by moving stuff around, and the term actually comes from the fact that he was dimming the gas lights in the house and making her feel like she didn't remember doing it herself, telling her she's imagining things. But in psychology, it means that someone's bullied you or pushed you into thinking your reality isn't real. They've made you doubt your reality, doubt everything that you know to be true, your perceptions, your memories, your feelings, all this stuff. And they do this in order to bully and control you. Gaslighting is a persistent type of manipulation that a narcissist or other toxic person will apply to you, use against you, in order to control you, to make you doubt your own perception of reality, and ultimately to make you feel crazy. The thing is that gaslighting is kind of like a poison that kind of permeates slowly, and it makes you feel like you don't know which end is up and what's going on. It's what they call crazy making. It's something else. When they make you feel crazy, then they can feel in control of you, and often you'll give up the control when you reach that point because you don't know what else to do.
You might call them on something or have a disagreement or ask them why they're doing a certain behavior, and instead of replying or even justifying, they will flip the whole thing around to be about you. They will maybe even become the victim in the situation.
It's manipulative. It's mean, but that's what they do. They like to confuse you into buying their crap.
Some examples of gaslighting.
They'll twist your words and flip it around so that whatever it is you said they were doing, they'll project it right back onto you, saying you're the one that did that thing.
Maybe brushing off things that should be taken more seriously, or telling you that you're crazy or oversensitive or thinking too much or unreasonable, or even outright denying things that actually happened, telling you you misunderstood, it was just a joke. Even deliberate overacting or overreacting to things that happen, and then jumping down your throat telling you you're too stressed or you're too tired or you're just overthinking it, making you feel silly or making you feel unintelligent.
They will make things up, change the stories, say things that they said they didn't say, not say things they said they did say, and try to manipulate you into believing that what they said is the truth, even though it isn't. For instance, when I used to go out in public, do my groceries or shopping or whatever, my ex-narc used to tell me, "You're too friendly to the people who help you. It's like you're flirting. You're flirting with people. You really give the wrong impression when you're nice to people. People are only nice to people if they want something." And I would, you know, argue that, you know, I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, if you're nice to somebody, you're just being nice to somebody, because being kind to me is important. It would make me think, was I flirting? Did I say something overly nice? When I knew I didn't, but I would think about it. Stuff like that.
At first, you're like, this person's crazy. Of course I said this, or of course this happened. But over time, the more insistent they become, the more likely you are to start doubting your reality.
Eventually, you actually count on them for their version of whatever it is you're living, because you don't believe yourself anymore. That's exactly where they want you. Maybe they'll minimize you. They'll act like whatever you say is just kind of BS, and they'll trivialize everything that you feel is important. No matter what you feel, think, say, or do, they'll act like you have nothing to add to the world, and anything that you are, anything that you feel, anything that you say is less than what they feel, think, or say. Then when you call them out on it, they'll say, "Oh, I was just kidding. Gosh, I don't know why you're so, you take everything so seriously. You're so sensitive. Why do you always get mad over the smallest, dumbest things?" Well, what do you think then? You start to doubt yourself. This is leads me right into my next point, where they twist everything around. They reframe stuff. They make you feel insane, because they become highly logical with their stories, but their stories don't make any sense to you. They cause you to second guess yourself. They twist everything around in this expert fashion, and they make whatever really happened look like it was them being good and you being bad. So if you're a child and you were abused by a parent, punched in the face, nose broken, whatever, they'll say, "I didn't beat you. I just disciplined you because I love you, and that's what good parents do. I wouldn't spank you if I didn't love you," things like that. So then you begin to, as a child, associate spankings and beatings with love. And so what do you think is going to happen when you become an adult? You're going to look for someone who is abusive to you, because that's how people show love.
They'll even go as far to hide things. You might have left your keys right on the table. They'll come along, move the keys, and you'll go to find your keys to leave in the car, and you don't have your keys, and you'll know, "I just set them right there." And then you'll ask them, "Have you seen my keys?" "No, I haven't seen your keys." "Where did you leave them?" "Well, I left them right here on the counter 5 minutes ago." "Well, that's weird. I haven't seen them." Meanwhile, they have them. Then like 10 minutes later, they might show up again on the counter. So you kind of doubt yourself, were they on the counter, or did I move them, or, you know, maybe I thought I placed them somewhere else.
The narcissist will behave as though you deserve nothing at all when it comes to having choices, opinions. Anytime you have a choice or an opinion to state or make, the narcissist will minimize you and attack you. They lie to you, they manipulate you, they coerce you in order to keep you in a constant state of insecurity and fear. When you live in a state of fear, you'll have almost no choice but to submit to their will, and that's exactly what they want.
When you've been gaslighted, you usually leave the argument or situation feeling very confused and kind of like the world around you isn't real, because it basically makes you feel crazy, and enough of it will literally make you feel like you're insane.
Then we have the subject change. I like to call it deflection. The narcissist will change the subject or twist everything around so that whatever you're talking about is no longer relevant. Somehow you were talking about, why didn't you take out the trash when you said you would? And now they're talking about why you didn't separate the laundry last week and you turned all their shirts red or whatever. The bottom line is they'll deflect whatever it is. And that's a really mild example. They'll change the subject, divert by making another statement or asking a question or twisting everything to their advantage. And then they'll start saying things like, you're just imagining things, or you're overly sensitive, or no, that's not how it happened. That's not what really happened. I'll tell you what really happened. Or is that another crazy thing that your Aunt Janet told you? Where did that come from? Then there's straight up denial and avoidance. They avoid the truth. They deny the truth. They pretend it didn't happen, even if they did it right in front of you. This is a horrible example, but for example, if you walked in on your spouse in bed with your best friend in your bed in your house, they would say, "I wasn't doing anything. I was just laying there and she climbed in, or he climbed in." Later, they'll say something like, "Oh, you must have imagined that. That wasn't what you saw. You saw something completely different." Or, "That wasn't really your best friend in the bed with me. That was really a blow-up doll," or something completely irrational. But somehow over the course of time, they convince you of whatever lie they want you to believe. And this is because of very often years of conditioning. Or they'll just straight up say, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't do that. It wasn't me." Sometimes they'll just change what really happened and they'll just say, I never said this, I said that, or I never did this, I did that, even if you know for sure that that wasn't what happened. But after a long period of time, when you've been repeatedly and excessively gaslighted, you really don't even know what your reality is anymore. And if you do dare to say it out loud, very often you're punished in various ways by the narcissist, whether they withhold love or they push you away or they give you the silent treatment, whatever it is, they know exactly how to push your buttons and make you fall into line and make you behave the way they want you to. And when that stops working, they get far more sinister.
You become mentally crippled by this. I mean, it's literally emotional abuse, but it's kind of like an emotional attack that almost feels physical. But that's why it's so important for you to recognize it and be aware of these techniques, because I have found in my own life and in my own recovery that understanding the techniques really makes them far less effective. Because if I know, okay, this person's just doing this to manipulate me and hurt me, then I can handle it and see it for what it is and not feel overwhelmed and ruined by it.
Every now and then you'll get a little hope. Oh my gosh, maybe things are going to go back to normal or how they used to be. Maybe the narcissist is going to be kinder from now on. The narcissist will give you little glimmers of who they used to be or who you thought you signed up to be with. And it's just all false hope. And believe it or not, this is another form of gaslighting. They will occasionally treat you with kindness. They'll be a little gentle to you. They might even throw a compliment your way, give you a tiny taste of validation. They might even be really, really nice, and they might even show some sort of superficial remorse to you. And you'll go, oh, maybe it isn't that bad. Maybe I can make it through this. It's gonna be okay, right? Not really. It is a temporary maneuvering tactic that they're using to manipulate you and control you back into submission. This one often comes up anytime you think to yourself, you know what, I'm done, I'm out of here. That's when they'll start doing this. It's similar to hoovering. The worst part of this one is that they often use it to further make you dependent on them. And this kind of increases the enmeshment that you have. So it's even harder to leave them when this tactic is used. And I think they know it, whether subconsciously or not. And I think that depends on where they are on the spectrum.
Because it's not always clearly abusive, and because very often these little incidents kind of build up slowly over time, kind of like a layer of sand on top of a layer of sand on top of a layer of sand, it's really easy to make you doubt yourself and your perception, or doubt how serious something is.
That's gaslighting.
You may even have evidence or proof that something took place, and a narcissist will adamantly deny it, flip it around to saying that you're fabricating these accusations upon them, and they will never take accountability for their actions. They use this to get away with anything.
The narcissist will force you into a codependent relationship. Codependent is defined by the dictionary as excessive emotional or psychological reliance on a partner.
What happens over time is you become frustrated, you become confused, and as you try to defend yourself, the gaslighting will escalate. It'll get worse and usually escalate an argument into narc rage sometimes. Because they do not want to be trapped. They don't want to be accountable. They just want their way.
What they do is they require you to get their approval for everything. They might do this by making it really hard on you when you don't in the beginning of the relationship. Well, how dare you make, you know, bratwurst for dinner? I don't like bratwurst. You should have known that. And the next time, you know, how dare you, you know, cook a vegan meal? You know I need meat with my dinner. Whatever. The point is, they will begin to pick at small things, and that you will become so paranoid of triggering their fear and anger that your first step is always, what do you think, narcissist? Is this okay with you? So they stir up a whole bunch of mess in you. Your emotions are all over the place. You feel guilty. You feel shameful. It's really possible when you put all these things together for a narcissist to do some pretty terrible things to you in this situation. One of the worst things about gaslighting is, besides the fact that it messes with your head and your feeling of sanity and security in the world, aside from the fact that it can stick you into an unwanted situation, it does incredible damage to your self-esteem and, in fact, your entire self-identity if it's done over a long period of time. It's gaslighting that causes a lot of the CPTSD we deal with after these relationships with narcissists. And since a lot of us were raised by narcissists or somehow otherwise affected by narcissists in childhood, it's especially easy for people that we're in relationships with today to use gaslighting against us, because we already doubt ourselves. We already doubt the world around us. We're already not sure that we're okay to begin with.
Your narcissist exploits this, constantly pulling your strings, pushing your buttons,
to force you to be insecure, anxious, and worried, and not be able to function with your own thoughts and feelings, you must always obtain their opinion before you can do anything. And that's exactly what they want, because guess what it gives them? Do you know? Control. Yes. It does help to understand the reasons and the ways that they operate in order to help you in your recovery process. Narcissists, as we all know, they're conceited. They are self-important. They exaggerate their accomplishments. They need endless praise to function. And if they don't get it, they turn to narcissistic rage, narcissistic injury, and generally abusing you. They also have this very strange ability to just completely destroy any accomplishments, minimize, hide, ignore accomplishments that you've had, and even sometimes to take credit for them themselves. That's because the narcissist thinks that they are the most important person in the world, or they need to think that. And they have this thing where they are incredibly entitled. It's shocking sometimes the level of entitlement that a narcissist will have. Of course, this dramatic behavior of theirs has a huge effect on the lives of the people they claim to love. It makes your life feel really tragic, and you're anxious all the time, and you find yourself in a perpetual cycle of being cut down so the narcissist can feel better than you, having your confidence destroyed, your self-confidence, your self-esteem beaten up, and eventually you go down a horrible spiral that leads to you being absolutely devastated, right? Does that sound familiar? No matter who your narcissist is, you might find yourself living in a big delusion. Maybe you never did this before, but when you've been with a narcissist, you find yourself putting your own needs behind theirs and being so desperate to prevent them from being angry or sad or whatever that you literally give up what you want in order to give them what they want. Here's a simple, silly example. There's a piece of pie left. It's your favorite kind of pie in the whole wide world. The narcissist, the first time they ate the pie, they're like, this pie is terrible. I'm never eating this again. So you see the piece of pie sitting there, and instead of just assuming that you can eat it because the narcissist said they don't like it, you first need to ask the narcissist, hey, are you going to eat that? Because you don't want to take the chance that you'll eat the pie the narcissist wants and then later regret that behavior. I know that's a silly example, but think about it. Bottom line, it leaves you feeling really terrible most of the time. Even if you feel like you want to live in your own personal truth, the narcissist makes it almost impossible while you're in the relationship.
Here are a few telltale signs that you are with someone who is a gaslighter, manipulator, possibly a narcissist. First of all, you're scared to talk about stuff. You're scared to bring up your emotions and your feelings because you know that it's not going to benefit you to do so. You're going to end up hurting as a result of bringing forth anything that is potentially going to be perceived negatively by the narcissist about the narcissist. And quite honestly, you don't want to bring out your feelings about other people unless they reflect well on the narcissist, because if you bring up anything to the narcissist that they don't absolutely love, you know you're in trouble in whatever way that is for the narcissist that you're dealing with. You might find yourself feeling really guilty for ever feeling happy, and sometimes feeling guilty for not feeling happy. You might feel like you're completely weak and controlled by someone else, like your partner or your coworker, boss, whoever the narcissist is in your life. You might also feel like you were stronger and more confident back then before you met this person. You might feel scared and like everything's a little weird and something's off, something's not right, and everything's kind of really wrong, but you can't quite put your finger on what it is. And if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking, well, I must be the problem. But it turns out that you're not. It turns out you might be being gaslighted by a narcissist or some other toxic person. Maybe you feel like there's something just horribly fundamentally wrong with you, like you're super neurotic, or I'm losing my mind, I'm going crazy, or you're one of those people like I used to be and sometimes still am, where you feel like you need to apologize for everything all the time. You're always sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Maybe you're always on edge around that person. You can't quite put your finger on why, or you're threatened by that person in some way, but you can't know why exactly. There's something about them that makes you edgy or kind of sick to your stomach. Maybe you're always apologizing just for who you are as a person. Or maybe you really think you're too sensitive, or you're always overreacting about stuff. Maybe you just feel sad or isolated or depressed or misunderstood. You don't trust yourself, so maybe you feel like it's super hard to make decisions. You feel disoriented, or you feel confused, or you feel overwhelmed all the time. You feel like you can't function without someone because that person is sort of your guiding compass in the world. But when you really think about it, you realize that person's kind of controlling you. Does any of this feel familiar to you? If so, you might be being gaslighted by a narcissist or another toxic person. If that is the case, you're not alone. In fact, that's part of the reason that I'm here right now and why I've made more than 1,000 videos in this area, narcissistic abuse recovery. It is how I discovered narcissism, through the understanding of what gaslighting was. I couldn't figure out why I thought I was crazy. I couldn't figure out why every time I made some change to myself, I kept making all these changes, these personal changes, trying to make myself better, trying to make myself good enough. And I couldn't quite put my finger on why I wasn't ever succeeding. I would get better, and then suddenly there'd be another thing this person was complaining about. I would do better on one area, there would be another problem. It never seemed to matter. I could never quite ever measure up. And I really started to lose it. But it turns out I was being gaslighted.
Sometimes it helps you to even recognize the abuse at all. You know, a lot of times people tell me I had no idea what this was until I found your channel. And that's why I do videos like this. This is what I call a discovery video. It's how you learn to see what you've dealt with and start to recognize what abuse was happening to you. And this way you can begin to heal and recover and do better for yourself. So how do we protect ourselves? So the first thing you can do, of course, is grow rock. If you're still dealing with a narcissist, whether it's because you're living with them or you're engaged with them in some way because you have children or some legal issue, or you have to be connected to them, the Grey Rock method is your best bet. It's difficult, it can be a little painful for you, but eventually it causes a narcissist to try a different tactic to get your attention. The basic way to do the Grey Rock method is to just not give the narcissist any emotional reaction at all when they try to attack you or get close to you in any way. This also works if they're trying to love bomb you or get close to you. You just keep it all business all the time. So keep that in mind. If you are being gaslighted, if the narcissist is treating you terribly in the relationship, you simply don't react to them.
I have some sort of paper trail. So like have it all in text messages, on voicemail and email and chat, something that you can go back to, because that gaslighting, when somebody else starts really rewriting reality, it can just really, you know, spin a person around quickly, and it can cause a lot of damage. And it's easy to doubt ourselves.
Like I said a bazillion times, like I wrote in my blog back in 2006, it's all about making the right choice, pun intended. What does that mean? Well, you put your pen to paper or your fingers to the keyboard and you kind of just let it all out.
You know, keeping a paper trail, something that you can go back. I encourage people to write out how you're feeling. So like if you are in a situation that's confusing and you're, you know, you're caught up in that introspection of, is it me or is it them? To start writing out like bullet point format, things that aren't adding up. You know, oh, this person said that they didn't have children, but then I saw that they actually did have children on Facebook, or they said that they're divorced, but actually they're separated, or that, you know, they said they were an architect, but actually they're not.
If you're actively dealing with gaslighting from a narcissist, chances are they're trying to confuse your reality. So if you journal, you'll have a much better chance of actually keeping a grip on reality. You'll have a written record of what happened in your life. For me personally, journaling, writing, all of these things, blogging even, these have been my go-to personal development tools. I like to call it free therapy. For example, back when I lost 100 pounds, I did that by blogging through this site that used to exist called Buddy Slim. And so a bunch of people were on the site, they were blogging, and they were going around and reading and commenting on other people's blogs. And that helped with community, but it also helped with staying focused and working out our issues as to why we were struggling with our weight at the time. So the same thing applies to narcissistic abuse recovery.
I personally started a journal, but I found myself journaling about my experiences in my relationship and then in my marriage so that I could go back and say, this happened on this day and this happened, and you know, I got the silent treatment for 2 weeks. It's really important to write these things down, because once we start forming PTSD responses, trauma responses and triggers, we literally do block out a lot of these episodes of abuse.
You can also consider recording things with your phone, keeping a file that way, writing things down. I can't tell you how many times I was having a conversation with a narcissist and I actually said to them, I should really start recording our conversations, because you literally just said I had a big stupid nose or whatever insult it was, and then you literally denied it immediately after. And so when you have some sort of a record, that's one way to maintain your sanity. The written record is especially going to be, and or the recorded record, is especially going to be important when we're talking about things like there might be a situation that could legally be an issue. But even within regular romantic relationships or otherwise, having a record, even if you never show it to anyone else, is often enough to help you not doubt your sanity, which is really important in this situation. It also allows you to kind of keep track of the arc of the behavior as the behavior intensifies, where it happens, things like this. One of my clients once told me that she actually kept a record, a color-coded record, of when her narcissist would start fights with her, when he would be nice to her, and it turned out that he was actively starting fights right before his children would visit for the weekend because he didn't want her there while the children were visiting. I found that to be very interesting and very intelligent of her to do that, and I actually made a whole video about it. Other things you can try. Number one, don't give them any attention because they love attention. And so whenever they're doing anything hurtful or disrespectful to you, no attention at all. On the flip side of that, if you're still dealing with a narcissist, you can give them more attention and positive feedback when they act respectfully to you. Number two, move on. Don't hold on to the narcissist. Don't expect the narcissist to change because they won't change. So move on. Go no contact or low contact as soon as possible. That's going to be the thing that's going to really keep you sane in all of this. Either actually going no contact or going low contact, or at least preparing to go no contact.
And then, yeah, I would start really limiting contact and moving towards no contact as quickly as possible.
The single most important step is to get away from the gaslighter if possible. The longer you stay in an abusive relationship, the longer this person will negatively affect you. If this is your boss, consider finding a new job. If it is family, distance yourself to spend less time with them. If it is your spouse, understand you will probably never change this person and you can try to get marriage help, but be prepared to get a divorce if needed. People will not change unless they choose to change, and many people who are gaslighters have been abusive people since childhood, and it is ingrained in their mind to be abusive.
When you do learn how to recognize gaslighting, you can feel so much more confident in yourself, and especially if you can learn to enforce your boundaries.
Avoid any contact with the gaslighter. You may be tempted to show that person mercy and respond to the person's text messages, emails, or calls, but you need to shut this person out from your life 100%. You have the right to choose who you allow in your one and only life. If you had a best friend who is being abused by someone, doesn't your best friend have the right to ignore that person? So do you.
If someone is insulting you and saying, "I'm just kidding, what are you talking about?" you can actually say to them, "Could you explain to me why that joke is funny?" Or if someone is hugging you too much at work and it's making you uncomfortable, you can say, "You know, I'm really sorry I never told you this before, but I'm not really a very, you know, snuggly kind of person. I'm kind of a my dance space, your dance space kind of person." Or if somebody says, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, touch your butt," or whatever they're trying to say, you can say, "I know you're saying it's not on purpose and I appreciate that, but since it makes me so uncomfortable, could you stop doing it anyway?" Or flat out, "Listen, I know you're saying this is a joke or that I'm being oversensitive or overreacting. I understand that, but it's kind of important to me. Is there a problem with changing your behavior?" Sometimes when you put it to them so blatantly and directly, they almost can't, you know, respond in a way that's other than what you need to hear in those moments. If you focus on healing yourself, you're going to be much more likely to be shutting down that abuse in the process. Because narcissists, they don't want you to be happy, they don't want you to be healthy, and they certainly don't want you to be confident. They work really hard to tear you down.
Raise your self-esteem. Victims of gaslighting have often had their self-esteem beat up like a punching bag, and it needs to be fixed. This is one of the most important and challenging steps, but one thing that will help you raise your self-esteem is positive self-talk. Continue to talk to yourself kindly and not beat yourself up for what happened in the past. If you hear yourself negatively saying something to your mind, just calmly correct the self-talk to make it positive.
So if you start building those things within yourself, you will instantly become less attractive to the narcissist. So just in case that wasn't clear, the only real way to completely eliminate a narcissist's manipulation, gaslighting, and abuse is to go completely no contact, refuse to engage with them on any level. Or to put it more simply, the best way, probably the only way to completely effectively deal with a narcissist is to not deal with a narcissist at all. Unfortunately, it's not always that easy. So that's why I shared the other tips with you that I shared today. Bottom line, don't be afraid to be defiant. Even if you know for sure that that person is going to become very upset and angry, especially in a personal relationship, stick to your story if you know that it's true. Don't allow them to convince you otherwise. Recognize that the gaslighter is not going to be held accountable at least not by him or herself. They won't see your point of view, and they won't take responsibility for their own part in this whole deal. That's how they roll. They'll never be like, oh yeah, I get it, or you're right, you have a total point. As much as I would like to tell you that they would, they won't. It's unfortunate, but it's true. So knowing that you're not going to get acknowledgement is important, and that's kind of why sometimes I just walk away from these people. I don't waste my breath or my energy on them. Logic and reason cannot and will not be applied when we're talking about a narcissist. This is important to remember. You gotta let go of your need for things to change. Let go of your need for the narcissist to become a different person, because they won't become a different person. It's wishful thinking. It's just making your life harder. Of course, we all want things to make sense. Of course, we all want to be standing on solid ground with the person that we consider, you know, our friend, our partner, our coworker, whatever. But it doesn't work with these people. You cannot expect them to be regular people. You cannot expect them to respect you and your feelings and your needs. You must understand that they are limited in that way. And when you can see them as limitations and you can see that they are limited, maybe it's a little bit easier for you to just kind of turn around and walk away from that mess. But if you can't walk away from it, these techniques that I explained to you today will help. Why does this happen? Why is it so difficult to deal with a narcissist who's gaslighting? Why are they so manipulative? And why is it so hard for us to get past it? Why do we feel so encumbered by it and so stifled by their manipulation? I don't know about you, but very often for me, I will find myself feeling heavy stress when I'm in the presence of a narcissist, especially when he's angry or upset with me. That's just one of the reasons why it's really the only solution to completely liberating yourself from a narcissist is to go no contact. We also have to talk about the fact that narcissists, we're sort of addicted to them, and they're sort of addicted to us. They feed on our feelings. They grow stronger when they are able to elicit our feelings from us. And of course, to a narcissist, the only thing that ever really matters is their own feelings, their own self-gratification, their own desires being met. They don't care if your desires are not met, and if they happen to get met, great. But in some cases, if they know your desires are being met, they will actively work against them. Whether you're talking about a family member, a spouse, a coworker, a friend, and another type of romantic partner, you're going to deal with similar issues. The narcissist will try to dominate you, tear you down emotionally, and make you their proverbial. They will. I'm not kidding. When it comes to gaslighting, the bottom line here is the ground will always be shifting beneath you as long as you're involved with that person. There's no center. There's no rules. The only way that you can maintain your sanity if you cannot walk away from that person is to know black from white, to know up from down, blue from green, whatever. Know the truth. Be strong in the truth. Write it down if you need to. Google it if you need to. Whatever makes you feel secure in your knowledge of the situation, of the world around you. Know the truth and stick to the truth. Do not allow a narcissist or anyone else to gaslight you into submission. Don't allow a narcissist to take your life from you and take your sanity from you with gaslighting. You are, to a narcissist, nothing more than a source of narcissistic supply. You provide them with admiration. You provide them with praise, adulation, acceptance, pedestal pushing. The thing is, they need those things in order to make their false self seem more real to themselves. They have to sort of artificially inflate their egos by using your emotions and feelings. And if that requires that they tear you down, well, then they'll do it. If you're not properly, you know, pumping up the ego with I don't know what that was. If you're not properly pumping up the ego with it, you know, the narcissist will do whatever is necessary to elicit more emotion from you. Very often, beginning with narcissistic rage or narcissistic injury. And if you're anything like me, that stuff is exhausting to you. It feels overwhelming and upsetting. And even if you try to soothe them and keep them calm like they want you to, sometimes it just makes them more upset. Intermittent reinforcement keeps us hooked, because sometimes when we do what they want, we get what we want. We get that love or concern or whatever it is that we're seeking from the narcissist, acceptance. We find that, okay, I can actually make this person happy today. Yay! Because every now and then, they'll be nice to us. Every now and then, they'll give us a little taste of that person we signed up for in the first place. And that's why we stay hooked, at least part of the reason. There's a much bigger reason than that, but we'll get to that another day. But the intermittent reinforcement is how they hook us and keep us hooked. On our end, we provide them the type of supply that they need to create this false image of themselves and to maintain it, so they feel addicted to us as well. So it's really a very toxic situation for us, because of the fact that we feel addicted. And I think that's part of the reason that narcissists end up coming back into our lives even after we've left, because they need a little fix of our supply. Even if they've moved on to a new supply, they may not have properly trained that person yet, or they may not just be quite as good as we are at providing supply. So the narcissist will go back to the old supply, therefore the Hoover maneuver, which many of us experience during Valentine's Day, typically. So you can kind of look at narcissists in this case like a recovering addict. It's like an addict who can function sort of like a normal person during active addiction, but then in sobriety they completely fall apart. But they can do just fine if they could just get a little hit of their preferred drug. Narcissists are just like that with narcissistic supply. That's why it's so hard and so important for us to go no contact, because by allowing them to use us as a drug, we continue to feed their addiction and basically allow their false personality to continue to exist. Change your mind, change your perception. And while you're doing that, start thinking about your exit plan if you haven't yet. Tell me in the comments below what you think. This is the question of the day. The question of the day.
Question of the day. Do you think you're being gaslighted? Have you been gaslighted in the past?
How have you dealt with a narcissist in the past? And do you have other ideas and suggestions other than the ones I've talked about here today? Share your thoughts, your experiences, and your ideas in the comments section below. And let's talk about it. How did you handle it? Maybe you can help another survivor handle their own situation.
That's all I've got for you right now. But hey, please allow me to take a moment to share a quick shout out with my amazing channel members, the people who support me and this channel every single day. Thank you so much for what you're doing. It means a lot to me. It helps me do more of what I can do to help our fellow survivors. And that's a big deal to me. Thank you. My amazing channel members include Angela Falsetta, Susan Marion, Roxanne Antle, Debbie, Lorenzo D, Life's Revival, Trisha Wolf, James F., Marlene, Jen Archer, Sarah Lee, Patricia Keenum, Delilah DeBalsek, Darla Berg, Buku, Paul McMurrin, and Janet Hill. Thank you so much. Again, I just want to say thank you so much for hitting that join button. Your support really does mean a lot to me. Thank you again. It means the world to me. All right, that's all I've got for you right now. But as always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right down there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.